Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Laura McHale Holland, and Laura is the author of Reversible Skirt. Laura's fiction, features, and essays have appeared in Everyday Fiction, Wisdom Has a Voice, the Vintage Voices Anthologies, North Bay Biz Magazine, the No Valley Voice, and the original San Francisco Examiner. Her memoir, Reversible Skirt, won the Rockway Press International Writing Competition. Laura currently heads the editorial department of a trade publication covering the electronic payments industry. A member of both Redwood Writers and the Storytelling Association of California, she's been a featured teller at the Lake Tahoe Storytelling Festival. Laura, how are you?
I'm just fine, Don. How are you?
Good. Tell us about this book, please.
Reversible Skirt recounts the heart-rending decade after my mother's suicide as seen through my eyes as a young child. I was a toddler at the time of the tragedy. It also reveals what my sisters and I discovered that led us out of darkness and into productive adult lives.
So who did you write this book for?
Well, three different groups come to mind. First, as a reader myself, or as somebody who enjoys watching films, whenever I see something or read something that reflects an aspect of my experience that is atypical, something that I don't see in literature or on film very often, it means so much to me. Like one thing that comes to mind is Robert De Niro playing Dwight in Tobias Wolff's story, This Boy's Life. When I saw Robert De Niro on screen, even though it was a male character, a stepfather, it was like seeing my stepmother on screen. I had never seen anything like that before. I've never seen anything like that since. Chills were going up and down my spine, and it meant so much. I wanted to be able to give that kind of experience to other people. Another group is, I think there's a whole lot of us, I'm including myself in this group, who for various reasons have put certain dreams on hold or given up on them almost entirely for long periods of time. But whenever somebody steps out and does something, like writes a book after they haven't been able to for a long time, or runs a marathon, you know, overcomes something and does something, that inspires other people to do the same thing. Maybe somebody will read this book, and they maybe might not have wanted to read a book, but they've wanted to do something else. They'll go to bed, and in the morning they'll wake up and think, well, I'm going to take that sculpture class. I'm going to go for that run. So it's to inspire people. The third group of people is there's a lot of people who just like to read a good story, well told, with a lot of attention paid to the craft of writing. So those are the folks I had in mind when I wrote the book.
Now, would you say there's a central message in the book or an underlying theme?
Well, I think that the central message is that it's essential to treat children with respect and kindness. No matter what your relationship is to them, a parent, a step-parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a teacher, a neighbor, these things make such a difference to children. If you can just treat them with kindness and respect. There were times in my childhood when I would be going through some terrible things, and just to have someone say something kind, a teacher, there are moments like that that I still remember that still mean a lot to me. And, you know, it would be such a better world if everybody could just keep that in mind. And I think especially the people who are responsible for raising children. Treat them with respect and kindness.
Why did you choose to write this particular story?
Well, this is the story that I was given. It kept coming to mind over years as something that I ought to do, and I didn't really want to do it maybe because I would have to face a lot of emotions to do so. So I kept putting it aside. I would work on other things. I'd be busy. You know, I raised my daughter. I helped raise my stepson. So, you know, life is very busy. You can get occupied with anything and everything. But this story kept coming back to me. And finally, I realized, oh, this isn't going away. It's going to be there probably till my dying day if I don't do it, you know. And I decided, okay, I'm going to commit to writing this story, and then I'll see what comes up after that, because I realized it isn't going away. And as soon as I made that commitment, after about 2 weeks into the project, the child's voice came to me, the voice of the book, my recreated child's voice, and that book, and the voice carried the book, and I had a first draft within a couple of months.
So why did you choose to write it as a memoir instead of using it to create a work of fiction?
I think largely because the inciting incident was my mother's suicide. And my family, Irish Catholic, 1950s and 60s America, couldn't deal with it. And they pretty much pretended like my mother had never existed. So it was secret, it was repressed, it was confusing, it was like having a blister, you know, inside that you can't get rid of, or a sliver, not a blister, a blister there, festering. And I felt that if I wrote, you know, if I used my experiences to write fiction, I may or may not have come up with a better plot or a better story overall. I will never know that. But I felt like I would have been hiding in a way that I had to hide as a child. I had to hide the truth. So I felt like it was better to be honest and to say, this is me, this is my experience. And I think that would make it easier for other folks who've had to hide things to be allowed to speak about them when they need to, when it makes sense to.
Now, who are the main characters in the book, and who do you find most compelling?
Well, the main characters are my two sisters, Kathy and Mary Ruth, and me, our father, our stepmother, my grandmother, my grandfather, and my step-grandfather, and my Uncle John. My Uncle John is the only one of the generation before me who's still alive. He's still with us today. Oh, and my mother is a character, even though she was not alive while I was growing up. And I actually think she is, for me, the most compelling character, because there are so many unknowns. So many dead ends, so many things I will never know about her. I go through life, I don't put attention on her, but she's always there. If I think about her, it's just a kind of a frustrating thing. You know, I try to just let go because I'll never know why she killed herself, who she really was, what she was like day to day, what she liked, how she would have raised me had she been around. Could she have been helped? So I don't know. Everything is a big I don't know when it comes to her. So she's the most compelling.
So if your book were to be made into a movie, who do you picture playing the main characters?
Well, I think for my two sisters and me, as children, we'd have to be unknowns, hopefully children with a lot of Irish in them, because our mother was all Irish and our dad was half Irish and half German. So for some reason, I think of Robert Norton playing my father. He doesn't look like he looked, but I think he's a really good actor who could do a great job. Juliette Lewis comes to mind for my stepmother. I think of Michael Caine for my grandfather O'Neill. Robert Duvall for my step-grandfather, who was really mean and sour. I think Robert Duvall could do a really good job with him. And I picture Ellen Burstyn for my grandmother. And for my mother, I cannot picture anybody. And I guess that's fitting. I've tried and tried, but I just, nobody comes to mind.
So why do you begin each chapter with a fictional quote from your mother?
I think those quotes reflect the way that she has always been on the edge of my life, but not really part of my life. So I think having those quotes really conveys something important about the role that she has played in my life.
So how does the story setting in time and place affect what transpires?
Well, I think back in the 1950s and 1960s, especially in the 1950s when my mother killed herself, it was a very different world. I think there are many more resources for people who are thinking about committing suicide, families who are in trouble. I think it's a little bit easier to talk about suicide. I'm not saying it's easy, but I think we have come a ways since back then. So in terms of our mother being able to get help, I think there's a good possibility that she would have been able to get better help with what was going on with her. And even so, even if she had done it anyway, I think that there would have been more ideas, more possibilities for my father in terms of how he would have dealt with it, rather than just kind of pretending like she never existed and moving on as though everything was going to work out by not addressing it.
Would you say this is a type of cautionary tale?
Yes, I do think so. For two groups of people that I can think of right off the bat, one of them is for parents who are thinking or who have that cross their mind that maybe they should just do away with themselves. Now, some people, there isn't anything you can say or do that will deter them, but this could be a tale that might get somebody thinking like, oh my God, if I do this, what will happen to my children? It could be worse than them growing up with me, messed up as I am. You know, that could occur to them. I think it could be a cautionary tale for that group of parents who are receptive to, you know, getting some input, who aren't totally closed off and bent on, you know, going the route into self-destruction. And another group, I think, is parents and step-parents, you know, who are thinking of getting together. I think someone who is getting involved with someone who has children should really think long and hard whether they can really be a parent. And the person thinking of getting involved with someone who has children, should take their time. My father got remarried 7 months after my mother's suicide. He was not at all recovered from the event. And he had met my stepmother maybe 3 or 4 months before they got married. That is way too fast. And I'm hoping that this could be a cautionary tale for people to slow down when you're getting involved with someone who has children, or if you have children and you're getting involved, slow down, take your time, get to know each other, and realize that the children matter. One thing that my stepmother used to say was she met my father, she fell in love with him instantly, and it didn't matter that he had 3 little girls. Well, it did matter. It mattered hugely that he had 3 little girls. So I think it's a cautionary tale for that.
Well, time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
Well, Amazon.com is a good spot. Barnes & Noble, Powell's, local bookstores can order it. It's available in paperback and electronically in various versions.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Laura Michaele Holland, and she is the author of Reversible Skirt. Laura, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me to the show, Don.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the author's marketing powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.